Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Maseches Baba Kama Daf Chaf Vav. We are holding on Chaf Hayem and Beis, four lines off the bottom of the Amid. Okay, so in the Mishnah we had Rabbi Tarfon's Kal V'chomer, which proved, according to his opinion, that any damages resulting from shein v'regel, consumption or trampling, in a chatzar hanizak, in the victim's territory, would incur a payment of a nezak sholem, fully responsible, and was based on a kal v'chomer. So now, on account of that kal v'chomer, the Gemara will now present several more possible kal v'chomers to actually, these kal v'chomers will actually be used to challenge halachas that we already know. So what are these established halachas, the givens? So one is that keren in rishus rabim pays chatzi nezek. So aggressive behavior, if it's, you know, the first couple of times, chatzi nezek. Shein v'regel in rishus rabim is totally potter. Animal has a right to walk, to eat what he sees. You can't blame him for that. The Torah says you only chayiv in the chatzar hanizek. So shein v'regel in chatzar hanizek is nezek shal. In rishus rabim is potter. Here comes several kal v'chomers which will challenge these halachas. Four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Utehei shein v'regel chai b'shus harabim mikal v'chomer. Let us obligate shein v'regel if they occur in the street based on kal v'chomer, which is Uma keren shibishus hanizuk edem mishalom l'chatzi nezek. Keren action. Edem mishalom hanizuk, if it's, you know, a share of time, it's 50%. Chatzi nezek. So it has that downside. Still, if it occurs in the street, you pay. The same chatzin ezek, but you pay nevertheless. Shein v'regel shebeshus hanizek, mishalom nezek shalom, certainly shein v'regel, for which you're more responsible, even more than keren, because if that happens in a chatzar nezek, you pay fully, nezek shalom. Of course, ein din doesn't lend it to reason, shebeshus ram chayiv. If it happens in the street, you totally have to pay, totally. Says the Gemara, you can't say that. Amar kro biyabris day acher v'lubishus haravim. The Torah, in describing the damages resulting from shein v'regel, speaks about sadeh acher, the nizaks, the victim's territory, not in the street. So you can't, you know, suggest otherwise. Well, says the Gemara, it's not a contradiction to the pasuk. You know, you're assuming that the pasuk is telling us to exempt shein v'regel in the street. Right? No. Midi kule kamrinim? You think we're suggesting that shein v'regel in the street pay 100%? No. After all, we're learning it. It's based on keren, right? If keren is chayev, certainly shein v'regel. Well, palga kamrinim, all we mean to say is pay 50%, like keren pays 50%. And when the pasuk says, this is the punchline, says Rashi, when the pasuk says, ubir b'stei acher, pertaining to shein v'regel, it means to upgrade it, to add. In the street, you pay 50%, but if it's day acher, that's not your standard 50%. There you go up to 100%, full payment. So maybe. Omakro, you can't suggest that shein v'regel is chayiv in the street. Pasuk says by the keren situation, v'chotro is kaspoi, you know, you split his value, you know, you pay half the damage. Kaspoi shal zeh. Only this fellow, only this animal who exhibited aggressive behavior pays in the street. But not pertaining to the value of the other animal, basically, shein v'regel is not chayiv in the street. Okay. Next. Perhaps, if shein v'regel happened in the rishus hanizik, you only pay 50%, not 100%, 50%, based on a kal v'chomer, which is like this. It's based on keren. Uma keren shibushus rabim chayeves. Take a look at keren. In the street, you pay, right? Still, despite the fact that it has that advantage, still bishus hanizak eino mishalemes el chatzin nezak. If it happens even in the nizak's territory, you only pay 50%. Of course, we're speaking about a keren tama. So in the street, you have to pay, but still, if it's an Rishus HaNizek, you only pay 50%. Certainly, of course, Shein V'Regel. What happens to them in the street? Totally putter. Rishus HaRam V'Tura. So it has that downside, of course. It would have a downside in a Rishus HaNizek. It would be limited to 50% payment. Ein Odin, of course, Rishus HaNizek, Mishal Moni Chatzin Nezek. Amakrono. Pasuk says by the Shein V'Regel, who chew up, you know, this fellow's farm, Meitav Sadeh Yishal, you have to pay fully. Yishalim means Tashlum and Ma'alya, 100%, no discounts. Next question. Let's totally exempt Karen if it happens in the street, based on Makal V'Chaymer. Uma Shein V'Regel. Take a look at Shein V'Regel. Sheb Rishus HaNizek, Nezek Shom. If it happens in the Nizek's place, 100% payment. Still, despite the fact that it has that advantage, Birishus Rabban Petura. If it happens in the street, you put. Certainly the Karen, Shebishus HaNizek, you pay Chatzi Nezek. Doesn't it lend to reason, Eino Din Shebishus Rabban Petura? Right, it has a disadvantage. Even Rishus HaNizek, it's only 50%, much less than Shein V'Regel. Of course, it should have the same din as Shein V'Regel in the street, which is Potter. Amar B'Yechron, you can't say that. Amar Kro. The Pasuk, in describing the Karen fellow, paying his dues, Yechtzon, it says, you know, you split the value, and the word Yechtzon is extra. Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk, we learn that this concept of paying 50% is irrespective of location. Loi Bishus HaRabim, Loi Bishus HaYachad, wherever it takes place, you pay the same 50%, there's no exemption. Okay, so we've established the halachas that Shein V'Regel is put in the street, in Rishus HaNizek you pay 100%, and Karen is Chayiv Chatzi Nezek in the street. Next question. What about Kofer, which is that monetary compensation paid to the family of a victim that was killed by a shor? Now that's something unique to a shor, an animal who kills a person. But if a person kills another person, so let's say it's not b'shoigig or b'mezid, because if it were so, then if it's b'mezid, he gets killed. Through Bezdin, right? It's b'shoigig, he goes to the, you know, city of refuge, to the Irmik Lot. We're speaking that it's, you know, let's say he did it on purpose, but there was no, legal recourse to put him on trial. We have no, you know, hasra, they didn't warn him properly, whatever, it was some sort of legal, you know, legal issue which prevented us from applying Misa. So perhaps he has to play Kofer. He should compensate the family. The Adam Chayiv B'Kofer, based on a Kal V'Chaymer from an animal. Even a Shur, who doesn't have the din of a Bar Dvarim, which are those additional payments, embarrassment, loss of wages, pain, when a Shur harms a person, he pays actual damages, loss of value, that's it. The extra four things, tsar, ripui, doctor bill, sheves, boishes, he doesn't pay. Still, chayiv b'kofer, he pays kofer. If a shor kills a person, the owner has to pay compensation. Certainly a person, adam, shechayiv b'advarim, when he hurts another person, he has to pay all those extra payments. Ein adin, of course, shechayiv b'kofer, should pay kofer as well. Amakra, we have a pasuk which exempts him. Kechayiv lashen yushas olav. This is the kofer penalty applied to a situation where a shor kills a person, olav, on behalf, on account of the shor killing. So the olav is a specific term. Olav aloi al adam. It's specific to an animal killing a person. Kofer does not apply to adam killing a person. Next question. V'hei shor chayiv b'arba dvarim, mikal v'chomer. We're so assuming that a shor never has arba dvarim. Who says? Maybe he does. The owner has to pay the tzar, the ripui, the sheves, the boishes, even if his animal inflicted damage on another person, based on a kal v'chaymer. Uma adam, shein echayiv b'kofer. We've just established, as a fact, that a person has no kofer payments. Right? So a person is not chayiv and kofer. Still, he's chayiv b'arba dvarim. Of course, a shor, shechayiv b'kofer, which triggers kofer, ein adin, of course, shechayiv b'arba dvarim. Amakro, no, ish b'amitei. So the pasuk in discussing the halachas of the imum and the abad varim, all those payments, says ish ba'amitai. When a person hits his friend, below ishar ba'amitai doesn't apply to an animal who strikes out at his owner's friend. Okay, so we've established that Abo Advarim is specific to an Adam Hamazik, and Kaifer to a Shoyr. Iboilu becomes a new question on the topic of Kaifer. So the Pasuk, you know, when discussing Kaifer, is speaking about an animal who gores, you know, through Keren. What about if an animal used his regel, you know, he's just walking nonchalantly and Loyalenu steps over a toddler and kills him? Is there a Kaifer payment or not? Iboilu. Regel shardar sal gabetinoik bechatzar hanizik maum. Shadishalam kaifer. An animal is walking along in a chatzar hanizik and tramples a tinoik, a toddler. Question. Is your kaifer payment or not? Why yes? Why not? Mi amrina, shall we say? Mi did hava keren. Just like if he kills with his keren. Keren kiven the avad terei ut losa zimni urchehu. Umashalam kaifer. You know, if he uses his horns once, twice, three times to kill, it becomes, you know, habitualized, he pays kaifer. Hachinam elishna, here as well. Regel is naturally a mu'ad, right? It's just a natural liability. So why shouldn't he have kaifer? It's just another form of a mu'ad. That's one side of the coin. Adilma, or perhaps you can say, keren kavanose lahazak. There's a big difference between keren and regel. Keren is intentionally being aggressive and harming. Hi, but you know, he's just walking along the road. Regel ain't kavanas lahazik, so perhaps there's no kaifer in that case. Toshma. We're gonna try to prove this halacha from a Bryce. Bryce is like this. Hichnis shayroi lachotzer ba'albayish lebrishus. So Reuben brings his animal into Shimon's backyard without permission. U'negochei le'balabayis u'meis. And Reuben's ox kills the balabayis. Hashar b'skilo, the shor is put to death because he killed a person. Uba'alav, what about the owner of that ox? Bein tam, bein muad, mishalom kaifer sholim. Whether the animal is doing it for the first time or the tenth time, he pays full compensation. So full kaifer, divrei Rabbi Tarfa. End of story. Question. Why would he pay full kaifer? Tom always pays only 50%. Whether he damaged, he pays 50% damages. If he kills, we assume he pays 50% kaifer. He always gets that discount. So why is he going up to 100%? Oh, because it happened in the Chatzur HaNizik. It happened in, you know, the victim's property. So that's the question. Kaifer is Sholem B'Tam. Rabbi Tarfon Menoli, how did Rabbi Tarfon get to full kaifer if he's just a Tom? Oh, the answer must be like this. Lav Mishum, the Sovereign Likar Yisegli. So firstly, you have to know that he follows Rabbi Yisak Lili, who holds that a tam pays kaifer, period. That's a big controversy. Chacham holds that a tam never pays kaifer. But according to Rabbi Yisak Lili, there is kaifer payment even by tam. The Omar tam mishalm chatz kaifer mishisarab. So if this would have taken place in the street, right, the Karen would have killed somebody as a tam chatz kaifer. But since it happened in the victim's territory, it goes up to 100%. And Rabbi Tarfon will now take it up a notch to Nezek Sholim based on Al Kalvachayme from Regel. So Rashi explains, just like in our Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon upped the ante. So, you know, if Regel damages, not kills, damages property in the Rishus HaNizek, you go up to 100%. It's based on Al Kalvachayme. Same thing happens to Kaifer. Rashi explains like this. The Kavachayma will start like this. Shein v'regel, a totally putter in Rosh Hashanah. Still, in Rosh Hashanah, they would pay kaifer shalim. So if he killed through the regel, he pay 100% kaifer. So that's the basis for this halacha now. Apparently, Rabbi Tarfon holds that regel in Rosh Hashanah pays kaifer shalim. So, if in Rosh Hashanah it's potter, and Rosh Hashanah you pay kaifer shalim, certainly the keren, which in Rosh Hashanah, if you kill somebody through keren, you pay chatzi kaifer, like Rabbi Yisak Lili, we just established. Of course. If that keren kills somebody in Rosh Hashanah, you pay kaifer shalim, just like you pay Nezek Shalim by property damage, you pay Kaifer Shalim if there was a killing. So, if that's the case, again, we're trying to figure out how Rabbi Tarfon knew that Keren Tama in Rishus HaNizek pays Kaifer Shalom. This is the answer. The Kav HaChayim. Now the Kav HaChayim is based on a premise. Which premise? What was the starting point of the Kav HaChayim? Shane Regal in the street is Pater. Still, in Rishus HaNizek pays Kaifer Shalom. Certainly can't. Alma says the Gemara. Ika Kaifer Beregel. Clearly, Regal pays Kaifer. Otherwise, this whole Kav HaChayim would not work. So we've concluded, we've solved our Shiloh. Omar Rav Simon Rado, no, who says, Tana min Izak and the Regal Maisila? Who says that this Kav HaChayim is based on Regal paying Kaifer? Who says there's Kaifer by Regal? No. Skip Kaifer by Regal. Kaifer is only by Keren, as per the Psukim. Reb Tarfon's halacha here that Keren pays Kaifer Shalom if it occurred in Shusan Izik is based on a slightly different Kav HaChayim, which doesn't mention anything about Kaifer by Regal. It goes like this. Regal in Rishus Rab is potter from Nizakin, from damages. Still, Regal in Rishus HaNizek pays Nezek Shalom for property damage. Forget about Kaifer, property damage. Certainly, Karen, which in Rishus Rab pays Chatzi Kaifer. Of course, in Rishus HaNizek pays Kaifer Shalom. So it's based on Regal being Mazik. The Kav HaChayim is based on Regal being Mazik, not on Regal paying Kaifer. There's no Kaifer by Regal. Tanam and Nizakin de Regal Maisila. Well, that's not going to work. This type of Kav HaChayim is a shaky Kav HaChayim of Lifra because you can refute it. You're basing this halacha on the fact that Regal HaMazik in Rishus HaNizek pays it Nezek Shalem. Well, you can't compare the Kaifer payment to Nizakin. Mal and Nizakin, the Regal, yeah, Regal that's Mazik has an advantage. Shkein Yeshna Be'esh, the concept of paying for property damage applies to even fire. Fire burns, you pay. As opposed to Kaifer, which is trying to learn from it, Kaifer is not a system applied to age, to fire. If fire kills a person, there's no Kaifer. So you can't compare one to the other. Well, I could, mitamen. I'll base the Kav HaChayim on the fact that Regal is Chayiv Nezek Shalom if he caused property damage in the Chatzar Nizuk on an item which is concealed in a sack called Taman, and you can't come back and say, well, there's an advantage to property damage over Kaifer because it applies to fire as well. Fire damage, no, fire is putter by Taman, so you can't have that argument. Well, so it's more mild at Taman, true, but even something concealed still has one advantage over Kaifer. Shken yeshnei bebar, if a sack full of kalem falls into a bar. Sorry, if a kalem is not chayim bar. If an animal wrapped in a sack falls into a bar, you pay for it, even though it's tamen. So property damage has an advantage over kaifer, because there's no kaifer by a bar who kills. So basically, we're sort of trying to drive a wedge between kaifer and property damage. Paying for property damage. They have advantages. They apply to fire. They apply to even tamen applies to a bar, as opposed to kaifer doesn't apply to a bar. Well, Mikalem, who based it on property damage that occurred to Caleb. Now Caleb on a chayiv. If they were damaged in a bar, so it doesn't have any advantage over Kaifer. Well, Mala Kalem, Sheshna Be'esh, but the fire damages Kalem, you pay, but Kaifer doesn't apply to fire. Well, Mikalem Tmunim. Let's combine the two. Imagine you damaged Kalem, right? So, Regal was Mazik Kalem, which were Tmunim, both together. Kalem concealed. Fire doesn't apply, bird doesn't apply. So now, it can serve as a firm basis for our Kav HaChayim. So if there's Chiyuv Nezek Shalom for that, in Rishus HaNizek, certainly Kaifer will have the same halacha. Well, one second, Malu Kelim Tmunim, even these concealed Kelim, They have an advantage over Kaifer Shiyeshnan Ba'adah. If a person damages these things, then he pays. As opposed to Kaifer, a person doesn't pay Kaifer. So once again, Kaifer is at a disadvantage. So we got to go back to that earlier suggestion. Apparently, Reb Tarfon's halacha. Reb Tarfon's halacha that Karen pays Kaifer Sholem, Irshus Anizak is based on a Kal B'chaymer, which is working with the assumption that Regal will pay Kaifer Sholem, Irshus Anizak as well, and that will serve as basis for Kal B'chaymer. Alma, this proves our point that, yep, Ika Kaifer B'regal Shmamino, that the Kaifer concept applies to Regal as well, and we resolved our issue. Amalir Racham Medifter Ravino, I'll give you another reason to believe so. Achirami Mestavro, the Ika Kaifer B'regal, I'll prove that Regal will also be liable to Kaifer payments. Because if it's not so, if Regal does not pay Kaifer, Vitana, and the Tana meaning Reb Tarfon, who is out to prove that Keren pays Kaifer Sholem in Rishus HaNizek based on Al Kal V'Chomer, Vitana min Nizak in the Regal Maisila, and it was based on that other alternative Kal V'Chomer, which was based on a Regal HaMazik, not on Regal of Kaifer, because there's no Regal of Kaifer. If we'll assume so, it's not going to work. It's not going to work for another reason. We had many reasons. Here comes another reason. We can challenge it as follows. What was the Kal B'chaymer? What was the other suggestion? That it was based on the following Kal B'chaymer. Shein Regel is potter for damages in the street, still is chayav for damaging Rishus HaNizek Nezek Sholem. Certainly, Karen, which pays Chatzi Kaifer in the street, will pay Nezek Kaifer Sholem in Rishus HaNizek. Well, big difference between a regal hamazik and kaifer. Marlo nizak in the regal, shekein yeshna beregal. A regal which is mazik, which inflicts, you know, property damage, has an advantage over the concept of kaifer because, listen to this, the concept of a regal being liable for damages applies to regal. If regal does it, he pays it, as opposed to kaifer, which is inapplicable to regal. So it's within the actual formula. We're sort of using circular, you know, logic here to undo this whole Kal V'chomer. You can't base halacha of kaifer on an halacha of nezakin of regel. Nezakin of regel has an advantage over kaifer because unless you prove that regel has kaifer, we'll assume it doesn't. And if so, nezakin of regel have an advantage over kaifer because nezakin of regel apply to regal. If regal is mazik, you pay as opposed to kaifer, which does not. So apparently this kal v'chomer won't work. Rather, mikaifer the regal maisil. The kal v'chomer was based on the premise that regal pays kaifer, and thereby we can now generate this kal v'chomer that if shein regal, which is pot in the street, pays kaifer shalom nushus hanizek, certainly Karen, which pays chatzik in the street, will pay kaifer shalim in Rishus HaNizek el ashmona mikaifer deregel maisila alma. So clearly we see ikka kaifer beregel shmamina. Continues the mission. Adam muad loylo, a person is fully responsible in all situations for his actions, whether he damaged willingly, unwillingly, knowingly, unknowingly, bein shoygeig, whether it was unintentional, bein mazed intentional, bein air, whether he was awake, bein yashna or asleep. And Tosis, by the way, and Abdallah points out that, you know, I'm only chayiv if I lay down next to something there, right? And then I rolled over and I broke it. But if I lie down and somebody puts something next to me while I'm asleep, of course I'm not chayiv. Okay, examples of shoygeig: simius in chaveru, he blinded his friend's eye by mistake, or v'shiber sakelim, he broke his kelim, mishalim nezek shalom. Says the Gemara, katoni simius in chaveru dumu d'shiber sakelim. So the Mishnah cites two examples of a person responsible for damages b'shoigig, blinding an eye or breaking a kli. So we compare the two. Apparently the chiyuv in both cases are similar. Ma'asam nezek in arba dvarim loy, just like when he breaks a kli, you only pay actual damages, no embarrassment, doctor bills, and all that, right? Av simes in chaver, likewise, if it was mesame, his friend's eye, since it was b'shoigig, nezek in, you pay loss of value, damages, but not the other payments. Arba dvarim loy, you don't pay the four payments, and Rashi explains, four lines from the bottom, Nezek in Abodvarim, Loi Deloi Mechayvi Abodvarim Ela, the only time you pay those things is either if it was not intentional or close to intentional. Ela Oi Mezid, Oi Karev Le Mezid, Dum Yodach Yeriven Anoshim, where the Psukim are discussed. The Hasam Ksiv Ripoi Vishavis. Okay, so Vishagig you pay, but only a limited payment, actual damages. Now comes the big question. How do we know that a person is totally responsible, even Vishagig? How do you know you pay Nezik when it was unintentional? Likewise, in the Beit Medrash of Chizkiah, the Tana taught the same thing based on a pasuk, a makro. Petza tachas patza, which Rashi says is an extra pasuk, because the pasuk there in describing, you know, a person inflicting damage and paying for it, already says pay for what you did. Why, you know, repeat it? Petza tachas patza, blow for a blow, you know, injury for injury. We don't do it literally, right? So it's a matter of, you know, compensation and payment. Why the repetition? To teach us this point. You pay by shagi just like if it would be mezid, oinus just like it would be ratzain. There you go. Says the Gemara, well, the pasuk is needed for something else. The pasuk perhaps is teaching us that even if he actually pays nezek, damages, loss of value, you know, loss of market value of that victim, you still have to pay a tzar. You know, and Rashi points out, even though we know you paid tsar, but perhaps tsar is only when there was no actual physical damage caused. Let's say he pained his friend. He caused him damage without actually injuring him. Right? He burnt him on his nail, let's say. So we know you paid tsar. But who says in a case where he actually damaged him and hurt, you know, harmed him and lost, you know, he lost value, you have to pay that nezek? Who says you have to add tsar as well? So perhaps, you know, that's what the pasuk is for. Not perhaps, that's what the Gemara knew, that's what the pasuk is for. So it's unavailable for our drush of shaykh. In Cain, if it was only for one reason, for one drush, one halach lichtev kura, the pasuk would just say, in short form, petza be petza. My tachas petza, why the extra word, shvam notarti, allows us to learn both halachas. Number one, that tzar is always an add-on, and number two, you pay nezek even be shaykh. Continues the Gemara. So on the topic of shaykh, there are many different, you know, levels of shaygig, and you know, the Gemara will now spell out, you know, all different types of applications, meaning, you know, different various halachas, various contexts, and figure out how do we deal with various levels of shaygig in each context. Here we go. Amar Rava. We have a fellow sitting, and unbeknownst to him, there is a rock sitting on his lap. Amar Rava. Hoysa loy. So we have a fellow with a stone on his lap. He has no clue it's there. He gets up, boom, the rock flies off and causes damage. So is he responsible? He never knew about it. He suddenly is hit by shock. His rock goes flying and it causes damage. Either it damages, it kills a person, it lands on a car pedal and gets the car going, it does a malach on Shabbos, all types of situations. Let's see what happens. So with respect to damages, personal damages, linyan nizakin. Okay, so it hurts a person and now he's sent to bed, he has doctor bills, etc. Linyan nizakin, chayiv. So he has to pay the actual damage, right? Any sort of damages, broke a window, nezek you pay. As we just said, a person's chayiv even b'shoikik, right? But l'inyan arbo advar and potter, but those extra payments, tzar, ripui, sheves, boishes, we learned before, we had this in Rashi, right? That's only to, specific to mezid or korev l'mezid, which this fellow certainly does not qualify for. So he's potter on those. L'inyan Shabbos, likewise, if it caused a malacha on Shabbos, he's also potter. He's not even chayv achatos. Why? Melechas machsheves asra teira. We learned that a person's only chayv by Shabbos if he intended on doing the malacha. You know, when we speak about a malacha on Shabbos, b'shoigig just means he knows what he's doing. He just doesn't know one of two things. Either that this is asra on Shabbos, or two, that it's Shabbos. But he has to know what he's doing. He has to have machshava intention to actually, you know, press that pedal of that car, as opposed to, you know, this rock flying off him and causing that malacha. So he's potter. Linen gol is potter. Likewise, if he kills a person, you know, b'shoigeg, he's potter. And Rashi brings Because the Pasuk by Golus says, Makeh nefesh b'shegogo. This is not a shogig, this is less than a shogig. Shogig means he was aware at a point, at a certain point, and he forgot. This fellow was never aware of the presence of that stone, so he's patur. Linin evet, let's say the stone plopped on his evet kanani and knocked out his tooth or his eye, and we know that when an owner does that, the evet goes free. But here it was unintentional. So what happens? Beplukta to machloikis, the Rishim Gamliel Rabbon. The Sanya, we have a machloikis, whether it has to be intentional or not. Hayesha Yerabi Reife. So this evet had an owner, a master who happens to be a doctor, either a dentist or an eye doctor, right? But Amar Loi, the evet turns to his master, you know, so innocently, and says, Kharleina, you know, could you tend to my eye, put some eye paint, fix it up with Sima, the owner intending to the evet's eye, you know, mistakenly blinds it. Or, in the case of a dentist, Chater Lishina, he says, you know, I got a cavity, could you please take my cavity out? He pila, and by mistake he goes and knocks out the tooth. Sichik ba'adin, so the evet now sort of played on his master, and he got his get out of, you know, jail free card. V'yatzal l'cheves, he goes free, even though it was done unintentionally. That is the Chacham. But Rabban Shimon, Gamliel Omer, no, v'shichasa, the pasuk in describing this episode uses the word v'shichasa, which is the lashon of destruction, hashchasa. Achi skaven l'shachsa, it has to be with that in mind to actually knock out the tooth of the eye. In this case, he is pater. The eved, you know, stays eved. So that was the first set of cases, which is describing a fellow who mistakenly, you know, flung his stone off his lap without realizing it. You know, we know no clue that he had the stone. So we itemize all the halachas regarding nezakan, abor dvarim, Shabbos, golos, and eved. Here comes the next case, very similar, but here he knew about the stone at, you know, a certain point in time, then he forgot, and he got up and he flung. Hikir, but he knew about it, v'shachi, totally forgot, v'amad v'nafli, gets up, and there it goes. So, does that change anything? Let's see, linin nezakan chayiv, once again, for damage, he paid like before. Linin dal dvarim pater, the four payments, he's pater because, again, this is not mezit or karev lemezit. But in this case, linin golos chayiv, kills a person b'shagig, he pays, he goes l'golos, why damakro, the pasuk in describing the fellow who killed b'shagig, says b'shgaga. B'shgaga means machlal davali idea. He knew at some point, and this fellow qualifies b'havili idea. So he goes to golos. In the Shabbos, when it comes to malach on Shabbos, he's still pater, because it's not called malach machshavos. And once again, regarding the eved, in eved, it's the same machloikas as before, intention or no intention, plukta, the rabban, shim gamliel rabban. Next case. This gavan lizrak shtayim bezerak arba. Okay, this fellow is now actually holding the stone, and he's tossing it, thinking that it's going to go, you know, two amos. It ends up flying four amos, which is a shear, a malacha of haitzah on Shabbos, right? So a person throws a stone four amos in the street, he has to bring a chatos on Shabbos. So he really didn't plan on doing four. He planned on throwing it 2 feet. And it went four amos. So what happens now? So if it pertains to damages, you know, if it flew further than expected and broke a window, lini nezakin, you pay, chai, because the shagig picks. Lini dalat varim pater, because there was no intention. Lini Shabbos, right? Regarding the halacha of Shabbos, melechas machshavas b'inan. There is no chiyuv chatos, because again, he had no intention to do a malacha of four amis. Then in galus, but when it comes to galus, he goes to galus because it qualifies. Ashaloi tzadam rachmana. The pasuk describing a person who kills willingly, who does not go to the Eir Miklat. So, you know, you talk about a person who did it willingly, and it says Ashaloi tzadam, but a person who did not, you know, plot and you know, aim against this person trying to kill him. So if he didn't do that, which basically means he killed him by mistake, right? Then he goes to Golos. Ashaloi tzadam rachmana. That's the lashon of the pasuk. Prat l'maskavim l'zok shtayim b'zarek dal. Perfect. This is the perfect case of ashaloi tzadam. He planned on, he was aiming here and ended up there. So he's trying to do what he was doing. He's trying to throw a stone, but he was aiming it close by, not realizing that it's going to travel an extra couple of feet and hit the person. So this qualifies for golos. And regarding linin eved, regarding the eved going free, once again it's the same achleikas, because ultimately he didn't have kavana to destroy the eye or the tooth. Plukta, rabbanon. And in the final case, we have neskaven lizrik arba v'zerok shmoina. He intended on throwing the stone or the ball or whatever four amos, which is a shear of malach on Shabbos. It ended up going way further and broke a window, etc. Lina nizakin, if it caused damage, unintended damage, chayiv. Lina daladvarim, once again, he's potter. Lina shavas, all depends. I omar kol makam shetirtzel tanuach, if he actually, expressed his interest in having this thing land, whatever. Wherever, he says, you know what, I'm actually throwing it, but, I'll never know where, it could land wherever, I don't care. So in that case, he's fully responsible. So basically, he's responsible for the full outcome, and it's called Meleches Machshavas. It's his doing, and he has to bring a chatas. If he didn't have this announcement, he didn't have this in mind, he wanted only, a 4-amma throw, but it ended up being 8 ammas, so, the outcome was not programmed, was not intended, and therefore it's not called Meleches Machshavas, it does not bring a chatas. Linin Golos, regarding killing a person b'shogeg, and Golos, of course he does, Ashaloy Tzada, he didn't aim it in this direction, but, he still tried to throw the thing. That's called a killing b'shogeg, and you go to Golos. Prat l'niskaven l'izrek arba b'zarek shmoina. So, Ashaloy Tzada means that he didn't do it b'mezit, right? Right? As opposed to this case where he didn't do it b'mezit, he did it, he was trying to throw 4 amas and ended up landing 8 amas away. So that's called Loi Tzada. That wasn't aimed. It wasn't a purpose. He didn't kill him purposely. It wasn't an intentional kill. So that goes to Golos. And finally, in an Eved, regarding the Eved going free, it's the same machlokes as before Plukta. Okay, so we have 4 cases. One is the fellow who had no idea he had a stone sitting on him. One is the case he knew about, he forgot. Case where he wanted to throw 2 amas, he ended up throwing 4. Or 4 and ended up throwing 8. Ve'amar Rabba, Zora Klim Roish Hagag. A fellow who has a plate, throws it off the roof. Ubo Acher v'shaver b'makel. Shimon walks over and knocks the thing out midway, en route. Breaks it into smithereens. He's potter. Why? My timer. Mona Tvira. It was already a broken Kli. It was slated for smashing. Right? It was slated to crash in a second. Tamar. So he just broke something which was already sort of broken. Okay, so he's not chayiv. V'amar Rab, here's another halacha. Zora kli m'roish hagag. So Reuven tosses, Shimon's kli off the roof. Voyu tacht of kar m'ksosos. And he's throwing it right on top of a mattress. Okay, so you have, mattresses, pillows. It was going to make a soft, safe landing. Bo acher v'silkan. Comes another fellow, smart fellow, a wise guy, he pulls away those mattresses while the thing is already in midair. I caught them with silken. Or the person himself, the person who threw it over those mattresses, run down and pulls out the mattresses. Potter. So now the thing smashes down. He's Potter. You know why? My timer. Because, when he threw that thing off the roof, was it going to break? At that moment, did it have potential to break? No. Psuki mipsuki gire. It's like an expression. His arrows have been terminated. Basically, his maisa had no potential to wreak havoc, to bring about this result, because it was going to land on those mattresses. So he's not accountable for his maisa throwing it off the roof. That was fine. Okay, so that's out. Now you want to come back to him and say, well, who asked you to pull out the mattress? Okay, fine. But I didn't do an actual... I didn't have direct contact with the kli that broke. I removed a protector. I removed that cushion. Says Rashi, that's called Guroma bin Azakan. I was gur. Indirectly, I brought about damage. I'm not chayiv, at least not in Olam Hazeh. So therefore, he's pot. V'amarav, here comes another halacha. Zorak tinik m'rosh hagag. First, he throws a tinik off the roof. Uba acher v'kibbul b'sayif. And a fellow standing below. And he... reaches out with his sword and he kills the child comes into the sword and he kills him. So is he chai? So the child was going to die regardless, right? By way of that first person's actions. Just that the second person sort of expedited the process, right? Plukta, the Rabbi Yisrael, Rabban, Rabbi Machlek is Taman, the Sanya. Hiku asor b'nei odem asor maklis. So 10 people strike this person with 10 clubs. Bein b'vas achas, bein b'zeh chaseh, whether all at once or... one after the other, kulam turn, they're all potter. Rashi brings a pasuk. Moran Sanhedrin talks about the pasuk called kol nefesh adam. It has to be a full killing. Kol nefesh. So if each person only did part of the murder, they're potter. Pater. Rabbi Yehuda says, "I mean, no. Bezeach azeh achon chayiv. if it was done one after the other. So the last fellow who actually, you know, gave the last blow and expedited his death, he's chayev. Because he brought about, you know, that premature death. So even though he didn't fully kill him, he was already, you know, 90%, but he hurried it up and he's chayev. So likewise, in our case, the person who was makabel the tinnik with the saif, according to Rabbanim, is potter because he's only responsible, you know, partially, because mainly the person throwing him off the roof is chayev, because he was going to bring about his death. But the guy on the bottom expedited the process, so according to Rabbanim, that's only a partial murder, is potter. Whereas according to Rabbi Ben Seira, kirev misasai is reason enough to hold him fully responsible. Okay, so what did we learn today? We start off with a premise that Karen is chayev mishus rabim, and chayev chatzin ezek mishus anizek, shein v'regel is patr mishus rabim, chayev mishus anizek, and we challenge these halachas based on some kal v'chomers, and ultimately we have the psukim, which, you know, reestablish those halachas. We discussed when kaifer applies, when arbor dvarim apply. We concluded that regel in Rishus HaNizek plays kaifer as well. We discussed the chiyuvim of an Adam mod lo'ilam in all circumstances. We have the psukim for that. And then we discussed various cases of shogeg and, you know, the applications regarding various halachis, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Golos, whether it's the Eved, whether it's Nizakin or Arbo Advarim. And we discussed some cases at the end with the Zarak Limre Shagag and Zarak Tinek Mre Shagag. All the best to you. Surus Tevis and Atzlacha Rabbah.